Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
I was awakened by the most god-awful noise. It sounded like someone was trying to beat down the damn door. In fact, they were. The numerous police and Fulton County Sheriff officers surrounded my house. After failed attempts to open the door, the sheriff himself kicked down the front door and stomped in. They busted into my bedroom upstairs with their shiny guns drawn and pointed directly at me. The whole crew had weapons drawn, ready to attack on command. Listener, I just read an excerpt from Christian Black's novel, Pleasures and Sin, the story of C.J. Jones. And it's about that time once again for another 30 minutes of literary discussion here on A Touch of Grace. I am five times self-published author G.D. Grace, producer and host of A Touch of Grace. Listeners, the support you have shown for this show over the past year has been incredible, and I push myself to do this for you, the talented guest, and also for myself as well. Supporting the courageous efforts of my colleagues and fellow artists and is my way of giving back. I learn a great deal about literary life from the guests who stop by and share their wonderful writing experiences, and I'm always amazed at the level of passion that each and every one of them puts into their work. As always, I'm broadcasting live from Northern California, and this evening's date is Thursday, August 18, 2011, and the time is 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, with the whirly bird flying overhead here above me, something has went down in the neighborhood, but I guess that's just life in the hood. But on to bigger and better things. Today's guest has been one very patient young man. He was slated to appear on the show earlier this year, but the great laptop crash and other personal roadblocks kept cropping up. However, that's all in the past, and here we are this evening. This young man and I have been networking for well over a year, and I don't just consider him a colleague, I also consider him a friend. He's talked me through one of the roughest emotional rides I could have ever been on in my life, and that was heartbreak. He is wise beyond his years, and I am honored to have him on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back and relax and help me welcome the author of Pleasures and Sin, the story of Cedric C.J. Jones, Christian Black, to A Touch of Grace. So, Christian, welcome, and how are you doing this lovely evening?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. So just be yourself, because you know what? You're with friends. You know, this is all about you. This is your moment to shine. And I wanted to make this happen for you because I really believe in you. So on a scale of 1 to 10, can you rank your literary passion for the readers or listeners?
Let's see. I would say 9.5.
Okay. Okay, that's, so I would say that you're pretty ardent when it comes to writing. And so tell us, where did it all begin for you, this wonderful literary adventure that you're on?
Well, it started at a bookstore in Atlanta. I had this book over to X, and I was writing a journal, and Mr. Harris, Elon Harris, he was setting up for a book signing. I didn't realize he was sitting next to me at the time because I was so drawn to my own thoughts, my own mind. I didn't know, I wasn't really paying attention to my scene. He pretty much approached me and was like, hey, what are you writing? And, you know, I struck up conversation with him, but still not realizing who he was. Till I started looking around and I saw, like, the book signings and the posters and the line outside, and I was like, oh, my God, do you know who you are? Like, you've been here. So that's where it started.
Okay, so that experience, was he larger than life for you?
It was. It really was because, I mean, he took the time to actually sit there and see what I was doing, to actually say, are you okay? You know, do you want to talk? And because we had just did it, so I don't know how much he saw. I'm surprising he must have seen everything. He had to, because he asked if I was okay. Did I want to talk about it? Did I want something to drink? It was very nice. It was very refreshing.
God, that is so special. And, you know, I know that he is one of my favorite writers, he and James Earl Hardy. And I never got a chance to meet him, so that had to have been such a wonderful experience for you. And I know firsthand that you kind of took his passing real hard. How long had it been before, from the time you met him to the time he passed?
I met him back in 2008. I met him in 2008. I met him January. It was January 2008. And he passed
and you
away
had
a
lot. So you had his phone number and everything. I mean, you guys had really cultivated a very cool friendship, right?
I would say we did. It was more like a friendship, mentor, protege type relationship. Like, he saw potential in me. Like, I never saw myself as writing anything other than journal entries. So for him to actually take his time out of his busy schedule, his tours, his book signings, to actually try to mentor me and culture me and, you know, make me his protege, it was very rewarding. That was like the best rewarding experience I've had in life.
I know, and we've had discussions, and this is something that I want you to know as your friend and as someone who really cares about you, because I got a chance to read the book when I was flying home from seeing Adriana L. Williams play In Lost from Hell from in Las Vegas. You know, I actually picked up the book, Pleasures and Sin, and I actually started reading it, you know, and you really do have a gift, Christian, and I know that, you know, you made a move for business reasons, and you're in a big old city by yourself now on the East Coast, and you know, I hope you know that he is there with you in spirit, and he definitely wants you to continue on in pursuing and continuing to grow all that he saw in you. So I just wanted you to know from me to you that not only did he believe in you, but author G.D. Grace believes in you as well, and I'm always here for you, okay?
I know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, so with all those words of wisdom out the way, let's get into this next question. So when you first stepped foot into the literary world, did you have any idea what genre of writing you wanted to delve in?
Yes and no, because I knew it was writing about my life, the things I've seen, the things I've encountered. I knew it was going to be an adult, mature thing, and I knew it was catered to a certain lifestyle. Just because it was based on things that I knew, I've encountered, I've, you know, just had tribulations of things I've seen in my past. So I knew it was catered to a certain group of people when I first started writing it.
And what group of people would that be?
The arts and the lifestyle. Because the first book does usually have more, it has gay erotic things. It's more catered to the gay audience. However, the second book is catered to everybody.
Okay, that's cool. And a lot of people would probably jump on you about calling it a lifestyle. But that's still debatable anyway. Yeah, but that's okay. You be proud to say it because, you know, we're proud black gay men. So did you master the art of character development on your first attempt, or was it something that you grew into over time?
Absolutely not. I knew it was about me. So I knew those, some of the characters were easy to write about, but luckily, thanks for having Elon Harris around. He really took the time, helped me structure out my characters, helped me develop them. They were real. Some of them were real. So I had to have him help me change it where it looked like I wasn't a tell-all book, because it's not. That's not the intention. So I had to structure it according to different qualities, different height, to make it seem like it was somebody I know, but nobody else would know.
Okay, that makes sense. And, you know, I know that there was one particular scene in the book that I identified with, which is a lot of people, which probably a lot of gay men could identify with. We look for that strong, strapling, you know, kind of love, thugged out kind of guy. Yeah.
Quan.
What was his name?
Quan.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, it's that whole romantic, you know, we're driven toward this type for whatever reason. And then we grow up and then we learn otherwise. But what would you say has been the most challenging part for you as a writer?
Well, I would say the most would be marketing and making myself as a brand. That would be my biggest challenge.
Okay. Well, that's an honest answer because, you know, I've written the 5 books and, you know, that is a big challenge. And since, you know, the book has been released, have you encountered people that can show you the way or, you know, what have you done to kind of make that escalate in your favor to get the word out about, you know, Christian Black and, you know, the wonderful books that you're writing?
Well, I've networked. I've met great people like yourself over the year. Like, I can actually say you were actually, like, the closest person I met. You know, some people are kind of flaky, but you actually...
You could say that again.
Yeah, so you actually stood by, you know, you stood by me and told me everything would be okay. So I thank people like you, my friends, my supporters, those who brought my book. So a lot of my ways of doing it is my website and Facebook. Facebook seems to be the biggest way I can throw my book out there, and I get a lot of response from it.
Right, and there was a reason why I asked you that question, because I wanted to see where you were in that, and to just kind of put it on your mind that you're not alone in that, you know. For the most part, you know, all of us self-published authors are out there, you know, doing our thing, and, you know, there's not really just one way to market. You know, you learn various ways, and a lot of it has to do with social networking. And, of course, you know,
right.
I'm always here for you. Yeah. So why don't you, because I actually read the book, you know, the book was a little steamy, but can you tell the listeners a little bit about this first book that you wrote?
The first book was a semi-fictional. It's the struggles of past relationships. The story's about Cedric. He moves from Florida to Atlanta. As soon as he starts foot in the city, he's taken out of his comfort zone. So he's brand new. It's a doggy. He doesn't know what he's about to get into. He befriends himself with, you know, a stripper who backstabs him in the long run, who he thought it was his friend and confidant, but that came to light. And he also befriends a street hustler, a well-known street hustler in Atlanta. So pretty much they started his work outside there.
Didn't he also befriend, like, a stripper, too?
Yeah, honey. Her name was Honey.
And Honey
so
is actually going to be the name of... Honey's actually going to be the name of your new book, right?
Yes, Taste of Honey.
Yeah. How far along are you with that particular book?
It's done. I'm actually in the editing stages now. So hopefully it'll be out after mid-September. Hopefully everything will still be, you know, ready to be PDF version, ebook in mid-September.
Okay, well, that's outstanding. I just wanted to get, you know, a temperature check with you on that because I know that you were pushing forward. And I know, you know, sometimes it could get discouraging out here as a writer because Lord knows it gets discouraging for me. But, you know, back to Pleasures and Sin, you know, having read this book, I would say that the main character, CJ, seem to be searching for love in all the wrong places. So are there any similarities you share with this character?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I've told you about that before. Yes, it is. Pretty boy. Yeah, there is some similarities to Cedric and I can really relate to Cedric and CJ.
Okay. So now is Cedric and CJ one and the same, or are they two different people? Because I got a feeling that they were one and the same.
I would say Cedric is the grounded, moral, naive, running for that love. CJ is the rebellious one. He's the rebellious. He's the I don't give a freak about your feelings. He's like the dark side of Cedric. Like, that's Cedric's dark side. Cedric has that aura of angelic, you know, the niceness, that goodness about him. But CJ, on the other hand, has that devilish rebellion aura about
him. Right. Okay. But now, they are one character, though, right?
Yes, it's the same person. However,
right. So
it's
like one of his alter ego?
Yeah.
It's like his alter ego. Yeah. Now, his quest to make a living, I don't want to give too much of the book away, but his quest to make a living landed him in places that tested his faith. So would you say that you were living vicariously through this character in that regard?
Yes. That's great. That's a great answer to say.
Well, I mean, that's the wonderful thing about being a writer, though, you know, because we're able to, live vicariously through our characters and do some of the things that we may not really do in life, but we're actually able to explore them. So for you, would you say that is probably the best part of the writing experience for you, or what is the best part of the writing experience for you?
The best part of writing for me is writing on my emotions, my feelings. When something comes to mind, that's like the best feelings I get when I write, because it's very therapeutic for me. So it's like it heals. It's a healing process. If I'm mad, I write a thing that, you know, that reflects anger. If I'm happy, I write a thing that reflects happiness. So I base off my emotions, how I'm feeling, what's going on around me. That's what I base it off of.
So would you say that you have been able to resolve inner conflicts, you know, through your writing? Because I know that experience for me happened. It helped me unlock a lot of dark things that were going on in my life. But, you know, did you have a similar experience, or like an aha moment, an epiphany of something?
Yeah, I'm going to say I did, because I feel like it brought it to the surface, but I haven't really fully dealt with them. It's just I harbored them for so long, so I just finally pushed them to the surface. But I haven't really said, okay, I need to deal with them. I haven't got to that point yet.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I know I have these moments too, you know, especially doing the talk show. You know, it can get a little crazy sometimes when guests are showing up late or not showing up at all. And then sometimes, you know, working the regular gig, I'm so tired that I can't even think about wanting to write. But have there been moments when you just wanted to throw in the towel and just say F it?
All year long, most definitely. Like, this has been a very challenging year for me, and it's just like... every day, it's just like, why am I wasting my time doing this? But then I think of that inner voice in my head, and I think of the great people who have supported me. So that's what motivates me to keep pushing forward.
Okay, well, you know what? That's a good attitude to have, because, you know, it's almost like a song, a famous gospel song that says, when we fall down, we get up. And it seems like, you know, when you're out here trying to pursue a dream, you know, you just fall down, you dust yourself off, and you keep getting back up. And, you know, that's pretty much what I consider to be a passion, you know. So, you know, being that you're younger than me, I would just want to say that I encourage you, you know, to keep on going because, you know, not many people can say that in this life that they actually wrote a book. A lot of people talk about writing a book, but you actually wrote a book, and now you have number two, you know.
Right.
So what is it about this literary game that really makes you cringe?
That makes me crack, you say?
That makes you cringe. What about this literary game makes you...
Seriously, being like, you know, everybody said, oh, I can write a book too. But it's not as easy as people seem that it looks to be. Yes, anybody can write something, but actually go forward and turn it into something. As far as a book concerned, I take that being that I'm young, people don't take me serious. I feel like they just take me as a joke. They don't expect a 26-year-old to write a book.
And so, and how do you channel that, those pot shots that are being taken sometimes at you? You know, because there's always going to be something in this life, you know, you're not masculine enough, you're not, you know, smart enough, you're not thin enough, you know, you're not, you know, good-looking enough, you're not, there's always going to be something that stands in your way and tries to put that adversity in front of you. So how are you handling these things right now?
I try not to listen. I try not to let it bother me. I try my best. Only a couple of things really do get to me. But a lot of that doesn't get to me. Because it's like they're just jealous. I just feel like haters are your motivators.
So do you are you a spiritual person or, you know?
I am.
Because I guess what I'm trying. I'm sorry?
I am. I mean, like, I don't go to church as regular as I should, but I feel like I have a good relationship with the man upstairs.
Okay, so for the listeners out here, the reason I'm asking you these questions is because I feel in my heart that there is somebody that's going to listen to this show. They are going to listen to your story, you know, the one that we're talking about these past 30 minutes, and, you know, wanting them to get some type of encouragement out of it because, you know, between the two of us, you know, there's about 20-something years that separates us as far as age goes. But I'll tell you, you know, life does get easier as you get older. You know, you gain in wisdom, and some of the things that you used to worry about don't really bother you as much. Some of the people that, you know, you go after for friendship or an intimate relationship, you know, you realize that, you know, there are certain things that you want out of life, you know. And so pursuing a passion such as writing or any form of entertainment or artistry, we subject ourselves to criticism, you know, and most of us tend to be pretty sensitive.
Right.
So that's why I'm asking you these. Yeah. So that's why I'm asking you these questions, because you are young and you have accomplished quite a bit in your young life. But on another note, you actually do have this other novel called A Taste of Honey that will be hitting the literary waves at summer's end or a little later. Can you share with us a little bit about that storyline?
Okay, Honey's storyline is basically the concept is his, hers, and the truth. So hers, this is her side of the story. This is her tell-all. This is her point of view on the issue from the first book. She was one of the characters in the first book, but it's time for her to shine. It's time for her to tell her story.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's told from one of the characters in the first book. It's told from her point of view.
Yeah, because the first one, I threw her in there. I introduced her. Yes, she has a main part in the book, but the second book is all about her. It's all about her side. It's her side of the story,
right,
how her vision went.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it'll be an interesting book, because I know that, you know, they were somewhat hustlers, it's what you call, you know, they were chasing after the almighty dollar throughout this entire story, you know, and of course, DJ was looking for love. I mean, I hope I summed it up kind of nicely without giving too much away.
So what
has your feedback been about your literary project thus far? What kind of feedback are you getting from the readers that have read the book?
They like the first book, but a lot of people are waiting, anticipating for a second, just because how I ended the first book. I feel like a lot of people are very, very excited about my second novel. Because it's catered to everybody. I feel like I have a more broader outreach audience than just my first book. Because I feel like people who have already got a copy of it, they're like, oh my God, I can't wait for it to come out. So I have people interested in doing like films and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
So at the end of that first book, what were you feeling inside? What were you feeling inside about your accomplishment? And the reason I ask that question is because, for me, you know, I have a hard time trying to acknowledge my accomplishments. But so I want to know, from one writer to another, what did you feel after you completed that novel? What was your feeling?
I had a mix of emotions because my mentor had just passed. So I felt relieved that I actually was able to finish it because that's what he wanted me to do. Then I felt sad because I couldn't share that moment with him. And then I felt discouraged because it was like, I didn't know what was my next move. Where was I going to go? Because I had a golden ticket. And then when it happened to him, it was just like, I'm a mom now. So I had like a wave of emotion when I finished writing my first book. I didn't get joyous till I actually saw the book cover in my hand. And that's when I started like, oh my God, I did this. Like, wow, it's finally here.
Well, I'm glad that you reached that point, you know, because that's the thing that I was wanting to hear from you. I wanted to know that you did take time to celebrate your successes, you know, and I believe that there are going to be quite a few more. So hold on a second for just a moment because I'm going to do like a little pre-close because the time has passed. So it'll be just a second, and I'm going to come back to you for a final thought. So think of a good one for the listeners, and let me go ahead and get into this. So Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for supporting this show since the beginning. I cannot believe that a year has passed and that September 2nd, 2011 will be the one-year anniversary of A Touch of Grace. I have already secured a special guest for that day, and I'm honored that he accepted my invitation. His show is huge, and he has been my inspiration since day one. I'll be posting details about the anniversary show soon, so keep your eyes open. I'll make sure to give you plenty of time to clear your calendar for 8 p.m. on September 2nd, 2011. A Touch of Grace has amassed quite a bit of a huge following. It's grown to the tune of over 10,000 listeners, and I have to almost pinch myself sometimes when I look at those numbers. So please know that I'm always out here networking to bring you the best and rising artists in the world of literary and entertainment. So I'll be posting updates about the show on Facebook, my literary blog, http://author2b, that's AUTHOR, the number 2, b.wordpress.com, as well as on the Blog Talk website. So with that said, what are your final thoughts as this final few seconds comes to a close?
I'm just basically support my work. I want to thank my supporters, my followers, everybody who has supported me and who are excited about this. Let's be excited together. This is something I've been working hard on for the last couple months, over a year. So I'm really bringing something fresh, interesting to the table.
All right. Well, that's beautiful. And what I'd like to say is thank you for being a guest and imparting to the listeners. I'd like to say live and let live and cherish those you love. And Christian, I want to thank you for joining the show. You have a nice evening, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.